Okay, the most important metaphor that exists in Chinuch is the metaphor of planting. And last week, what we emphasized is an akuda that I don't think is emphasized enough, and that is that even if the parents are projecting love to their children, and the metaphor would be that the child, of course, is the tree, ki adam et hasadeh, the child is the young sapling, and the parent's love is the sun that's projected, the warmth that's projected to the children. So we emphasized last week that we have to be careful to make sure that the radiance that the parents are giving over to their children is something that's actually received by the child. Often what happens is that the child doesn't receive it. In fact, it was just haven't slept that much. I'm not sure we're up Thursday night, right? So yesterday I was in the Rosh Yeshiva's office in the Old City for 2 hours with a Talmud, a great, great boy, whose parents love him very much, but he doesn't think anything of himself. And that's because that even though his parents radiate a tremendous amount of love, for a few reasons that's beyond our scope. But tonight, he never really internalized the love of his parents, and particularly in terms of communicating with them. We spoke about last week that Revoldi says black on white that when mechanic, when they're 3 and 4 years old, is so that they'll come to us when they're 14 years old. And he had no one to go to when he was 13 or 14 years old, and so he went and started talking to his beer can. Good mouth, fantastic boy, I'm learning. That lived a double life for a while with great parents. So that wasn't in my prepared notes. It just hit me like a ton of bricks. I just realized, wow, as we were talking. That, and from a very good one of the top yeshivas in New York, one of the top yeshivas. So that's something that we have to try to cheshbon. That's what we spoke about last week, to make sure that the radiance and love from parents is something that the child actually receives. I'd like to continue Be'ezer Hashem with that analogy, and then see Revolbi's next ha'ara. That continues from what we had spoken about, looking at long term on page Yud Ches in the Feldheim edition. So he speaks about hatama ishit, and that is to make sure that the chinuch is appropriate for the child. In other words, what I'd like to with this analogy of the sun, well, the sun has to reach the tree in the appropriate way. If the sun is too hot, If the plant is not supposed to be growing in Arizona, but it's supposed to be growing in a much colder climate in northern Canada, so then the warmth is not appropriate. And where the emphasis in the child's growth, that's extremely, extremely important. Says Revolbi, Dover Nosef Shaurim Tzrichim Liyot Muda Imelov Hu Hakarat Hayod and Tchunatav HaPratiyot Ein Yelad Dom LeChaveiro Im Haurim Ein Yom Yomdim Zot ומתייחסים לילד כוחות שאין לו, החינוך והעמל שהם משקיעים לא יהיה מכוון כלל על אותו ילד. It has to be geared towards the child. There is a famous and beautiful grah that Revolbi quotes, where the grah says that all of us are created with different personalities. Every single one of us here has different kochos. Chanoch lenar al pi darko, on the bottom of page Yud Ches. What does it mean to be chanoch lenar al pi darko? It means to raise the child based on the strength that they are given. Ubehemshech mazbir agra, skip to page Yud Ches. Shenaktu dugma ot elu bedafka. Chazal talk about different talents that a person has, or different personality types. David HaMelech had the personality as a redhead, as a firebrand. David HaMelech had the propensity to be a murderer. Skip a paragraph. Adam shenolad b'mazel madim yochal l'shtamish b'koach zelef sherut shehuzkeru. If he has this red koach, he could use it to become a shofet. Or he could use it even to be in for madregos that are even higher. He could become a moel. That's not only shchita is a matir, it's a rishus, the gra, right? But if he's a moel, he could use a ledvar mitzvah. Ubehemshech divrei gra, When Shmuel saw him, he never thought that he'd be the melech. Continues the gravitivo. Kai tichanchu lasos mitzvahs va'oz, and with that, gam kishiyashim ol yosur imenu. Aval kishayata machricho, the grow over here sounds like a psychologist. Aval kishayata machricho negin mazolo, ata yishlam alechom yirasa otcha. Aval, he'll listen to you. Aval achar kach, that's the pshan the pasuk. Chanoch l'nar pidarko, gam kishayaskin lo yosur imenu. Because if you raise him based on his personality, based on his kochos, then it will stick with him. But in chas v'chalila, if you try to bend the child in a way that's not consistent with their identity, so then in such a case it's not going to work. Every once in a while, I find myself when with my plants outside, we have a couple of plants outside the door, and I find myself giving it a lot of water. And my wife says to me, Chaim, they don't need that much water. But I want them to grow. She says, they just don't need that much water. All the water that you're going to add is not going to help. You just got to be a little bit more patient. Sometimes in the child's personality, most children, 98% of most children, are not going to be masmidim right off the bat. God willing, Be'ezer Hashem, we'll talk more about how to get them to that point. But it takes patience, and it also requires us to be able to really, really begin to understand their personality. So in the case of that, using the metaphor that we've been using up until now, the love has to be put in a place of the child where it could really, really be effective in the child's growth. Let me give you an example. I knew of a child that was diagnosed by psychologists as having ADHD. The child didn't sit that much, and the parents knew about it quite early on. And when I spoke with the parents, I didn't see any need for medication. I think a lot of times, children that are active and might even have ADHD, I even know some tremendous Talmidei Chachamim that their wives are experts in the field, and they say, I'm positive that my husband has ADHD. And I'm talking about Talmidei Chacham Muflagim. I'm positive their wives are therapists and so on, for sure, no doubt about it. And these people are now tremendous masmidim, and they talk to their husbands about what they did when they were children, no doubt about it. I'm not a professional, and I don't came to give professional expertise. I stopped my schooling. I was enjoying learning a little bit too much to be able to really to give professional expertise. But I'll regalach us from a distance, seeing a broad array of people. I think that a lot of times we're just not accepting the child based on their personality. Is it uncomfortable for parents? Yes, very, very uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable when the parents go away for a Shabbos meal and their children are jumping all over the place and so on. And we need to talk about how to be magdir those behaviors. But those children who have that, says the Gra, don't try to break them. Don't try to mess around with the chemicals in their brain. Before we do that, we have to think long and hard. Do they really, really need it? You know, we asked ourselves a question when we spoke about Shalom Bayis. When we give our wife a gift, why are we giving her the gift? First of all, are we projecting what we would want? Or as Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, I'm not sure if I mentioned to you at the time we did Shalom Bayis, there was a Talmud who came to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and said to him, Rebbe, I buy my wife gifts, and I don't think that she's not gorgeous. I don't see any appreciation and so on. Rabbi Yisrael looked him in the eye and he said, are you buying her a gift or are you buying yourself a gift? In other words, sometimes, you know, you yourself want a new CD player, but even if it's not that you wanted something new, but sometimes what it is you want something from her. That's not called a gift. Sometimes parents treat their children not because it's the best thing for their child, but it's the best thing for them. It's the best thing for them. There's not going to be Gam Kiyaskin in such a case. It has to be about really, really working with the child's Tchunas HaNefesh. And any type of child that Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us is a tremendous, tremendous bracha. And those children who even are those who are a little bit more active, or for that matter, we'll get to in a moment, a little bit more chutzpahdik. I don't believe in tolerating chutzpah, but one needs to put it in its right place. Children that are more chutzpahdik, what we're trying to do is not change them, break them, chas v'chalila, but rather to be able to put the love in the right place that they could grow later on. A couple more examples, not as extreme, let's say, of a child with ADHD. By the way, this child is doing fantastic. One of the things I encourage is play ball with the kids a lot. Give them the opportunity to get out a lot of their energy. Usually these kids are fantastic ball players. And also, ball, sports does another thing, and that is it allows the child to learn rules of the world in a fun way. Every single sport has rules to it. There's fair and there's foul. There's a reception and there's an interception. It's your ball and it's my ball. And for the game to work, we've got to follow the rules. We might want the call to go our way, but no one turns to the umpire and says a strike is a ball. They say no. In other words, they don't ask for the rule change, but they say that the call might be wrong. But everybody accepts the idea that the rules are there, that the rules are is a given. And so what the children learn is that there's a real value to structure without their parents telling them the idea of structure. So sports is fantastic for a child like that. So the parent notices the need of the child and builds with the child. If often these children don't have a lot of patience to sit and read, but they have tremendous auditory skills. They remember everything they hear. So maybe they should be learning also with tapes. Not only they don't have the patience to sit and read. Simpler examples. You'll begin to notice whether your child has the tchunat hanefesh of someone who's constantly a doer or someone who is more reticent. Without being more specific, I have two children. One of them is a real doer, and the other one, by nature, is quiet and reflective. And their personalities are so different. The doer, the one who's outgoing, loves to get things done. So that child has a tendency, also because they're so active, to sometimes say things that are inappropriate. That's part of their personality. Because they want, they're aggressive sometimes in accomplishing things. The child that's quiet, the teachers love them. They say the child never ever speaks back, absorbs everything, puts it back on the test. But then when it comes time in social settings, there are times that the child finds things challenging because by nature they're going to be reticent. And the job of the parent is not to take child A and turn them into child B, but say, okay, what could we do to foster the child's cough? Let's take the quiet one. Usually the quiet child, even if they're fantastic and they get fantastic grades, often because they're not noticed and their action, they tend to be less active and not to be noticed as much. Their self-esteem, that's not to say a doer will have great self-esteem, but particularly the quiet, reticent child, their self-esteem really, really has to be built up. I mean, find something for them that they can do that they could really, really take pride in. Here in Israel, there's something beautiful. There are many problems with the educational system here in Eretz Yisrael. But one of the beautiful things in Eretz Yisrael is that school is a little bit shorter, and many, many children go to chugim. There's so many different types of chugim. There's woodworks, there's sports, there's art, there's music. And that's a fantastic opportunity to make the child feel good about themselves and about their kochos. So that is exactly what the Gra is speaking about over here. And that is not trying to alter the child's personality, which is scary, that sometimes that's what psychiatry tries to do, is to alter the individual's personality. And these parents told me that the psychologist was saying, you know, Ritalin, Ritalin, Ritalin. The child is now 12 years old, is fantastic, flowering. What was amazing was The parents then spoke to the Rebbe and the teachers, and they said the child is fine in class. Yeah, he fidgets around. He fidgets around, but he listens to the Rebbe, he responds, he's cooperative. One of the rabbis suggested because he fidgets around, the Rebbe was willing to bring in a shtender. Sometimes the child gets up and he learns by a shtender and then he sits down again. V'chulei, v'chulei. So these are things that when addressed, the child doesn't have to be remodeled. The child doesn't even have to be an issue from the perspective of the child. Now we'll have to discuss what happens when they do act. You know, kids with ADHD do things that are more silly than just fidgeting in class and so on. We'll have to discuss Bezer Hashem later on about that. Okay, so that is this Yisod. Again, this is a classic piece that Revoldi advanced from the Gra. He concludes with this terrifying story on page Chaf, where he says that there was a tzaddik mefursam. Had to be pretty big, because Revoldi wasn't... he says that there was a tzaddik mefursam that came to him with a child who didn't speak, and the reason why the child didn't speak is because the father thought it was because the child just suffered from shyness. But the reason why the child didn't speak is because he wasn't encouraged to do anything else except to learn. And everything else, even though the father wasn't an evil person, everything else was looked down upon. And there was a tremendous sinna that was bottled up in the child. Tzadik mefursam. Tzadik mefursam. And ultimately the child went letar busrad. By the way, that for Revoldi to write took a tremendous... We're not talking about in 2010 when you have thousands and thousands of kids that have gone off the derech Hashem Yirachem. We're talking about when this wasn't as common 25, 30 years ago. It took a tremendous amount of guts on his part to write this story down. Okay. That is the sun. And the sun shining in and giving love to the... and adapting to the strengths of the child and not trying to force the child to be something else. That's our application of continuing the idea of Zriya. There's something else that's necessary for planting. Not only the sun. Rabbi Brizak, every week we'll bring in another interesting book. Rabbi Brizak is a well-known mechanich in the Haredi system here in Eretz Yisrael. It's a decent book, Chinuch in Turbulent Times. He described that he was once walking with a expert in botany, someone who had a greenhouse in the States after a storm, and they passed by a few trees that were uprooted and some trees were firmly intact. And the fellow said, "So silly, these trees stayed intact because they were planted in the right place. These other trees, these are fantastic trees, but they don't belong in the soil." For planting, not only does one need to have the appropriate sun, have the appropriate water, have the appropriate shade, but also what's necessary is that needs to be in the appropriate ground. And that is outside of the chefza of the child himself, entirely outside of that, we have to prepare the appropriate ground to raise that child. After I was speaking to this Talmud yesterday, so Rabbi Dr. Mordechai Reich, Rabbi Machlis is Chavrusa, he is a psychologist. One time we were sitting here in the auditorium by a bris, and I turned to one of the avrichim and I asked him, "Who do you think is the biggest mechanech in this room?" There were a few rebbeim from a few yeshivas here in Eretz Yisrael. So I said, "Well, the truth is, you won't know who it is. I guarantee you won't know who it is because you're not allowed to know who it is." And one of the biggest mechanechim, his name is is Dr. Mordechai Reich. He's a fantastic therapist. Who many Talmidim go to, but he can't be well known, because the moment he'd be well known, then that would undermine his entire koach. So Dr. Reich mentioned to me, we were talking about Chinuch Habonim, between speaking about different Talmidim, so Dr. Reich mentioned to me that he felt that a large part of Chinuch that is missed when talking about chinuch to young parents is understanding oneself and one's background. In other words, Rabosai, we need to understand the ground that we are planting in. We need to understand what the environment that we are placing our child in. We ourselves also have personalities. We also have kochos and unfortunately vices as well. And some of them we're not going to entirely change. We also have relationship with our own parents. Some of them healthy and some of them not. Before we think only about the ilan itself, the sapling itself, we also have to think about what we bring, the type of ground that we're likely to create. And that means that if there were unhealthy things in our relationship with our parents, or if there are things in Shalom Bayis that we need to work on, now's the time to work on them when we're young. And often, those issues, once they're addressed, many, in my experience, most of the things when they're addressed honestly and head-on, so ultimately, most of them could be very successfully dealt with. If we don't, so then the ground that we're planting on Chas v'Chalila could be very dangerous. And vis-a-vis our relationship with our parents, so then what we know that was unhealthy in our parents' house, I'm confident that most of the things that we experienced in our parents' house was healthy, but the things that were unhealthy in our parents' house, those are the things that we need to internalize and understand so that we don't repeat them. The most scariest, I think the scariest statistic in the world, not to just as a dugma, as a general example of how extreme that is, the scariest statistic in the world is that the parents that they themselves were abused as children are most likely to abuse their own children. It doesn't make any sense, and it makes all the sense in the world. And that is, as we'll get to, of course, later on, is modeling is the most critical part to chinuch. And therefore, what we ourselves experience in our own homes, the joys and the sufferings, those are things that are very, very necessary for us to internalize and think about with our spouse, to speak honestly about. Let's say you think that there's something in your wife's home that she had gone through which wasn't entirely good. Get back to our Shalom Bayis room. It's not about accusing or criticizing and so on, but my guess is that if she went through something difficult and you're really, really caring about what she went through, if you talk about it, then there'll be a tremendous relief on your wife's side as well. So the more we're honest about our own strengths and weaknesses, the more likely we're able to put the tree in an appropriate place. There's something else that we have to think about that has nothing to do with the sun and the water, and that is the timing when we plant. Most effective chinuch, not 99% of it, is only done in situations that are positive. If it's not positive times, if the chinuch is, if it's during times that are during moments of constructive criticism or during moments of negative reinforcement, if there ever is such a place for it, which we'll discuss, so then that the odds are that the chinuch is not going to be effective. So again, so the planting has to be done in the ground when the ground is tilled properly, when there's an appropriate balance of moisture and so on. Rabbi Brizak then adds something that's very important, and this is the uncomfortable part that we have to discuss as well. And that is that we have a responsibility not only for the actual basic needs of the tree, but to protect the tree from negative forces, negative influences, to protect them from the storm. Even if we planted it in the appropriate soil and so on, there are going to be negative influences and there are going to be storms that the children have to be protected from. It's a very, very hard line to draw. It's a very, very hard thing to balance. Our Avos Yisrael has to be very, very big and great, but Avos Yisrael can't be at the expense of friends that are negative, they're negative influences. If a parents decide that they're not going to have internet in their homes, or they're going to only have internet with filters, or they're not going to have televisions in their homes, they have to really, really think where their children are going to play. That's not, I'm not saying asur, I'm saying it needs to be thought out. And one could have a very, very secure environment at home, but ultimately there could be terrible influence. I spoke to parents that adayom hazeh they feel that there's a certain child that is out of sync with the rest of their family, and that was because when the child was very young, they let the child to go to other people's houses, and they were exposed to things that they never exposed their other children to, and they would never think of exposing their children to. And that creates a real, real tension. Not, it creates an ideological tension, it creates an emotional tension. So that's something that we have to be honest about. There's also the sur meira. Let me get even more painful. Unfortunately, there, within our institutions, children have been abused. Children have been treated very, very terribly. And that means that parents have a responsibility to think even about the unspeakable. And that they have to think about making sure that their child are entirely, that their children are protected. How? The moment we send them away to a school, even if it's the best school, I went to one of the best yeshivas in Brooklyn, and my assistant principal was arrested. It's a well-known, it's a world-famous story. One of the best yeshivas in Brooklyn, the assistant principal was arrested for sexual abuse. I remember the student who he abused. We're talking about a fantastic, fantastic yeshiva. Not only that, he was the glue that held it, one of the best yeshivas in the world together. He was a fantastic, quote-unquote, fantastic, fantastic principal. Which means that there are no institutions that are immune from this. No institution that's immune. So that means we can't rely on the fact that the school, the cheder, the day school has a fantastic reputation. It's not enough. Not enough. Parents, Lania's diet, you have to talk openly with their children. I know we're jumping ahead a little bit. The children of the Kollel are still young, but in a few years from now, there's Lania's diet, 6, 7, 8, or 9 years old, you don't have to say anything. We'll get to a moment how we talk about sexuality. You don't have to say anything explicit. All you have to say is the following. Abba and Ima really, really care about you. And we always want to make sure that you're safe. If there is ever a time that someone talks to you in a way that makes you feel uncomfortable, or touches you in a way that you feel uncomfortable, please come and tell us right away. We're always here, and never be afraid to talk to us. Of course, the same thing goes in terms of talking to strangers, and so on and so forth. That's standard stuff. But talking about abuse, I think, needs to be spelled out. Berachel b'tcha ktana, that to speak to children, there's no word. Notice in the formulation, there was no word about sexuality. The child is. It's not about teaching children sexuality when they're 6, 7, 8 years old. It's about just making sure that they're feeling comfortable. God forbid, in the cases of abuse, the child is made to feel uncomfortable, but is scared to say anything, from what I understand. Now, Rabbos, I want to stop right here and emphasize that I'm only saying this as a Rebbe and not as an expert. I'm not saying this as an expert. It's kedai also to speak to other mumchim. I'm just saying this in the small experience of learning Torah and psychology. This is what I'm saying as a father myself to you. If you have any questions, feel free, and please, please verify with people who are professionals as well. But Lania's Daiti, that's something that's very important. Happens to be after one of the shiurim, someone said something amazing that we won't quote the Rosh Yeshiva's name. That's not a chisaron at all, the Rosh Yeshiva. I think it's actually very, very fantastic. But someone told me a statistic that's mind-boggling. mind-boggling statistic. Did anybody What do you remember going on YU Torah is the highest number of hits a shir has gotten. So what I can remember is 1,300, 1,400 hits is the highest amount of hits for a shir. There's a Rosh Yeshiva who courageously gave a shir, I don't know what the title was, Hotzazer Levatalar, was the title of the shir, and it has close to 5,000 hits. 5,000 hits. The most I've seen is 1,300, 1,400 hits. Now, Rabosai, what does that say? Now, I'm just trying to piece together the puzzle. That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, other Talmidim have told me that shiurim that have titles that are actually our Shalom Bayis shiurim that we had a big suffix we had to put on the internet, right? So we have six topics. Communication and so on, and one of them is not so explicit. It's intimacy. We had a big suffix where they put the intimacy shear. I checked it out. The intimacy shear has three times the amount of hits than the other. We're not close to 5,000, but you need to come up with a better title than that. But Rabotai, what is that? What does that say? What does that say? What it seems to say to me, and I'm. We need to play a little bit detective like this, or talk to the people who know how internet usage works. What seems to me is the following. There are a lot of young Jewish men and women that are looking for information about sexuality. That's what it seems to me. And what they're doing is, they're going, Baruch Hashem. That was part of our suffix, whether to put it on. So I said to myself, well, if it's a teenager that's going to look, I'd rather that they be going to YU Torah and getting it than somewhere else. Yesh Ladun, I don't know, I'm not sure that we did the right thing. But possibly it's the right approach, because at the end of the day, at least they should see it from, in our smallness, from a Torah's perspective. But that says to me that there are many, many young men and women that are looking for guidance and they don't have it. Therefore, I think that at a later age, coming towards puberty and adolescence, I think there's even a responsibility for parents. Once upon a time that didn't exist, I think for parents to talk about sexuality with their children as well. I later saw that the Gedolei Torah say this idea as well. Rav Volbi in the end of the Sefer makes reference to this this point also, that we're ideally, if the parents can, that's something as well. That's also protecting the children from outside, from negative outside influences. The more the children are getting from their parents, this is not even about building the eitz, but it's just protecting them. It's almost a sur meirah. I'm not talking about that they should get lofty ideas of sexuality and so on, but not chas v'chalila perspectives that are perverted. Finally, we get to the last part of the metaphor, and that is, the mayim, ein mayim ela teira. The water represents teaching Torah. Let's take a look at a page I don't think I photocopied for you, so I'll quote it to you baal peh. Rav Volbi's take in terms of the way Chazal introduced Talmud Torah for children. With this, we'll conclude our analogy towards Zriya, and Be'ezer Hashem, next week, we'll start with a new construct. Chazal introduced, he points out that the Gemara in Sukkah and Beis Amid Aleph introduced the mitzvah of Talmud Torah in an interesting way. Katan hayodea ledaber ovim melamdoi Torah kriyashma Torah mahi amar Rav Amnuna Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Rav Volbi points out that Chazal says specifically katan hayodea ledaber, the katan that knows how to speak. The Sifri goes even a step further. The Sifri says, "Mikan amru kishatinok matzchil ledaber aviv medaber imo v'loshin kodesh umlam doy teira." Loshin kodesh, I think, means loshin kodesh. I told you the story about our on Shabbos. I tried to speak loshin kodesh, which is called ivrit. And once I was speaking to my children, and my daughter had a friend over, a Hasidic girl from a Hasidic family. She speaks three languages, English, Hebrew, and Yiddish. So she turned to my daughter and she said, "Why does your father speak in Ivrit on Shabbos?" So I heard her, so I said to her, Ani mishtadel ledaber b'lashon kodesh b'Shabbos. So she said, she turned to my daughter very sheepishly and she said, I thought lashon kodesh is Yiddish. If it's not lashon kodesh. So Chazal seemed to have understood a little there. Oh, but actually, I thought it was very, very beautiful. For Soloveitchik said that Yiddish was the language of Torah for a thousand years. A thousand years is the language of Torah in Ashkenazi countries, or the language of Torah. And he said that Yiddish has a din. I guess Ladino also would have that. That he says that Yiddish has a din of Tashmishei Kedusha, in a metaphorical type of way. It bothers me a lot when people are mezalzel in Yiddish. But at the same time, Chazal here we're talking about Lashon Kodesh Pshutai Kimashmai. The Sifri is saying that when the child begins to learn how to speak, Chazal go even further. And Chazal say that someone who doesn't take advantage of this, is not mekayim this, if he doesn't fulfill it, it's ki'ilu, it says, if he buried his child. Says Rav Volbi, what do we see from this yisod? What we see from here, that's also, by the way, it's in the Sifri. V'me'ei medabri mo b'lashon kodesh v'einu melavdo Torah, ra'oi lo ki'ilu kovra. It's as if he buries a child. What do we see? That timing is extremely, extremely important. And that is, yes, that there is a value in teaching one's children what Lashon Kodesh is. Timing is extremely important. And that's something that we have to really, really think about. Going back to the first Yisod, about the child's strength, one really needs to think about when the child is ready to grow in this area. Let's take a look now at what I photocopied for you on Shtei Drachim B'chinuch. That's on page Chaf Aleph. Yes, Rafi. What does the Sifri mean? What does Sifri... Rav Volbi takes this very, very seriously. Rav Volbi says that what it means is the following. It means that, God forbid, if we don't take advantage of filling up our children in the right time with the appropriate hashpa'os, then what we're doing is something that will forever handicap them. Forever handicap them. Let me give you an example of this that's very, very poignant. I see it in yeshiva, sometimes boys in yeshiva gedola, boys who've been learning for many, many years in the yeshiva system, who are never taught how to read properly, they could be very, very smart, they're just stuck. And unless they get real, real help, and so I think it means not ki'ilu kovro, that they're mamish dead, but if the problems aren't fixed, going to be really, really addressed and fixed, later on, so then in such a case they're really stuck. This corresponds directly to the photocopy that you have in front of you on page Chaf Aleph, and that is Hatsagat Hamatara Shel Achinuch Naset B'Shtei Drachim Ikariot. And I want to skip to Bet first before doing Aleph. There are two ways in which one inspires and one teaches in Chinuch, and the second one is Hasbara. B'mahalach gidulo shel yeled tzricha liyot hasbara, hasbara shel amuna shel mitzvah hatera. That there is a requirement for the parents to really, really explain to their children. Children are highly, highly intelligent. They're highly, highly perceptive. And that means that parents could teach to speak to them. It bothers me sometimes when parents speak down to their children. I'm even uncomfortable when parents speak to children baby talk after a certain age, because children could really, really process even adults speak as well. And that is that children should not be spoken down to. Children should be looked at as growing intelligent human beings. So hasbara is something that's extremely important. That is to really, really explain to children. Lo lachshov shayel katam midai. It's not that we just do things just because that's the way it's done. Of course it has to be not to explain to them based on Kant and the Rambam, Mor Nevuchim, etc., but at the same time, to really, really take their intellect very seriously. And that's all part. When the child learns how to speak, to begin to teach, start teaching them the inherent logic and beauty of Torah. But Rabbosai, I'd like to be medayik a little bit more, and this gets us to the other derech in chinuch that Rav Volbi says. And that is, Chazal say, Torah mahi, that when a child begins to be able to speak, so then we begin to teach them Lashon Kodesh. Torah mahi, what is, we begin to teach them Torah, what is Torah? Torah tzivalanu Moshe marasha kivas Yaakov. So I'd like to be medayik in what exactly Torah tzivalanu Moshe is vis-a-vis chinuch. First of all, it's so beautiful. It's a dichotomy of two different concepts. On the one hand, it's Siva. There's a command, there's an ol mitzvos, that we live this lofty life of angels, on the one hand. Yet at the same time, Torah is from Moshe. It's not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu only, but it's through Moshe Rabbeinu. And that is, if it would only be through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then it's impossible for a child to relate to. My 2-year-old son is now saying, Hashem is here, Hashem is there. It's beautiful. I'm not criticizing the Ganenet, but at the same time, they have no hasaga what that means. But if you talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, if you talk about the dugma of a tzaddik, and that there's a tzaddik who embodies Kedusha, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Derech Moshe, not Derech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, they once say that there's one of the Baal Teshuva was struck when he walked into the Beis HaMedrash that they talk about everything in the study halls. They talk about agricultural laws, they talk about sexual laws, they talk about monetary laws. The only thing they're not talking about is God. So that sometimes we as mechanchim have to make a cheshbon about that. Sometimes it's not a problem. But there, he and this Baal Teshuva, when he described it, was absolutely fascinated by that. And that is that the notion of God, for sure, by the way, Rav Volbi speaks about that, we speak about emunah and so on, and belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But sometimes the child needs something that's more concrete, an embodiment of what Kedusha is. Not necessarily the theoretical notion of Kedusha, but the embodiment of Kedusha. In our system, in the YU model, I've emphasized in the past, I often feel that that's something that's not entirely internalized. And that is because of the fear of a theocracy and the fear of rabbinic coercion, there is a escape of any type of veneration of Gedolei Torah. Because along with it comes along negative connotations of Das Torah, etc., etc. We're not going to get involved with all that politics. But Rabbosai, what's critical is Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. It's not Torah Tziva Lanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's Aliyei Derech Moshe. On the one hand, it's a tzivui, yet also a focus on the embodiment of Kedusha. So what do I mean, a focus on the embodiment of Kedusha? One of the ways to emphasize that is through Sipurei Tzadikim. It's talking about Tzadikim, saying over stories about Tzadikim. Nowadays in the Litvisher world, there's enough Sipurei Tzadikim about the Litvisher Rabbani. But there really has to be a sense that Torah is something that's living, and through stories of people that are really great. So Moshe as a person is introduced. That Lanias Daiti is connected to what Rav Volbi is saying. In number one, dugma ishit. It's not enough hasbara. It's not enough hasbara. That's tziva, but there has to be the modeling. Hachiyav agadol shel ahorim hu l'shamish dugma. Kol yeled rotze b'ofen tivi lizdahot im horov l'chakot otam. The ultimate Moshe Rabbeinu is you. And in the feminine component, your wife. Im hadugma shein marim hi tova vayachas shebein horim vayeld hu yachas bari, yachas levavi v'cham. Then in such a case, the chinuch, Rav Volbi says here on page Chaf Aleph, is going to be successful. Let me take this point even a step further. I heard this idea quoted in the name of Rav Weinberg. There are Ma'amari Chazal that speak about that Kibud Ave'im is equal to Mora Shechina. It's mamish equal to Dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How and why? So I heard reported in the name of Rav Noach Weinberg the following deep psychological idea. And that is that children look at their parents in the initial stages of life as all-powerful. Their lives are entirely revolved and dependent on them. A child's perspective of God starts with those dugma ishiyot. Of course, there's a time in which the parents have to clarify the phenomenon. But they say, you know, we always say over that Rav Moshe Feinstein said that not to teach the children brachos in fifth grade, because what's going to happen is that the children, there are two reasons. Now we'll say one of them. Rav Moshe said that the father dams in a shtibel, and they say Kriya Shema already after Zman Kriya Shema. You're already teaching the children that the father does something wrong. At a young age, they believe that their parents, on a certain level, represent perfection. Rav Weinberg added, deep down, the most important thing in our neshama is to feel closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yisod v'sharesh ha'avoda, l'sani gal Hashem v'lenos b'ziv shechinaso. The greatest satisfaction is, and that's what Olam Haba is a sense of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chas v'chalila Gehenim is that sense of richuk. Rav Weinberg adds, in chinuch, the most important thing to a child is acceptance and love, and God forbid the worst thing is rejection and distance. So that's the dugma yishit. That's the Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. The Hainu, you and I have that role of being the link between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our children. To the point that in the initial stages, they ki'ilu kaviyachol confuse us with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of that sense of warmth and closeness. And ultimately, their perspective of God, some even argue, is very much going to be dependent on what their perspective of us is. The healthier and the warmer of that relationship, it's a chazal. It's the strangest thing in the world that Kadosh Baruch, with all of our shortcomings, that Kadosh Baruch Hu will say that the veneration of us is like the veneration of God. But that's what Chazal say. That's what Kibud Ave'im is. Because we are that shutuf with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're that link. And on the one hand, it's tzivui, but it can't be just from this abstract kuch of richu. It has to be a Torah tziva lanu Moshe, and therefore who we are, our dugma yishit, is even more important than the hezber of the tzivui. The dugma yishit becomes even more important than that. Finally, conclude with a smaller point. Morasha Kihilas Yaakov. Our Mesira is Kihilas Yaakov. Our Mesira is not only our grandparents and only our Rabbein. Our Mesira is part of Kihilas Yaakov. If we want our children to be really thoughtful and giving people, and it's a lot easier to say Rabosei than to live. But then how we relate to Kihilas Yaakov, how we speak about other people, how we care for other people, and the chesed that we do for others is ultimately going to, like we said, if you will, the Shita Seinu, the Dugma Yishit, is going to entirely impact the child's relationship with Kihilas Yaakov. The parents, we see this over and over and over again. The parents that are thoughtful and giving to others, So then their children tend, we spoke about last week, it's only tend, it's not a guarantee, but they tend to have that sense of warmth with others. The parents whose children whose parents who grew up in homes of parents that were fraught with machlokas, so then those children are tainted forever. Of course, you know that's what Rashi says, that that's the bechina of machlokas between Moshe and Korach. And that offsprings is its machlokas is mamish infectious, and it tears up everything. And that means that we are have to ask ourselves, what are we exposing our children to in Kilas Yaakov? And something, by the way, that's not easy. Sometimes we even start L'Shem Shemayim. Sometimes we start talking about an issue L'Shem Shemayim. You know, that this tzibur held like this, and this tzibur held like that. And I think that this one is right, and not that one. Well, the child hears that. Even if the cheshbon is L'Shem Shemayim, but ultimately if the parents don't show that constantly that they're part of Kilas Yaakov, then the children are going to feel it. There's no coincidence, Rabosai, that of all the Gedolei Torah, I feel responsible. I apologize that a couple of the Avrichim, I'm repeating myself, but tonight is right after the Yahrzeit of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. It's not a coincidence that Rav Shlomo Zalman's progeny and his Talmidim give off a certain sense of shleimus that, frankly, I would say that is not so common. You don't find it even in other rabbinic circles. That requires a tremendous, tremendous amount of work that one tries to bring everybody in Klal Yisrael together. My Rosh HaKilas Yaakov, I told Avrichim the story that I'm amish in love with. That happened with Rav Shlomo Zalman. It was right before the elections that there was a tremendous amount of pressure that Rav Shlomo Zalman give his support to one of the religious political parties. And he refused. And there was someone who was constantly chasing after him and would, everywhere he went, he said, the Rosh Yeshiva has to, he used to say out loud, Mamish put Rav Shlomo Zalman on the spot, the Rosh Yeshiva has to say over what is Das Torah, which party to vote for. Rav Shlomo Zalman tried to constantly run away from him. Eventually, he followed him everywhere. So Rav Shlomo Zalman looked him in the eye and he said to him, I have to tell you the truth. I'm closer to Olam Haba than I am to Olam Hazeh. And the question that you're asking me now is an Olam Hazeh question. And he says, I'm an old man. I'm already close to Olam Haba. I'm not going to get involved. And the guy was very taken aback because Ki'ilu, Shlomo Zalman was then in his 70s. He, Baruch Hashem, lived for quite a while after that, but he took Kilu as if he was saying he doesn't have that much more to live. So he left him alone. A few months later, after the elections, so he's at a bris, and Rav Shlomo Zalman is there. And Baruch Hashem, Rav Shlomo Zalman looks great. And Shlomo Zalman had a lot of pain. One side of his face, particularly in the 60s and 70s, there was a nerve that caused him a tremendous amount of pain, but he was always besimcha. He had an unsuccessful surgery, if I'm not mistaken, and he had a tremendous amount of pain. But he was always besimcha. So he sees him besimcha, speaking to everybody and so on. Shlomo Zalman's worth was contagious. So he asks him again, he screams out again, and he says to him, I see that Baruch Hashem, the Rosh Yeshiva, is in Olam Hazeh. So he's gotta say, what's Das Torah? So Shlomo Zalman said, looks around and says, I'm an Olam Hazeh. I thought I was an Olam Haba. I just came with Eliyahu HaNavi. And he ran out. So that koach to be able to take a real chachma, a real chachma to bring together Kilas Yaakov, to try to avoid that sense of pirud, is all part of it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Yaakov and Shemaya to be able to be Mekayim both Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, that we should find the embodiment of Torah for our children. It's not enough that it be theoretical, but also that the children should feel that it's not only that there is a Moshe Rabbeinu, that there are tzaddikim, but also that there is a Marasha Kihilas Yaakov.